He that is not with me is against me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is the first of two phrases in today's Gospel which may surprise us. He that is not with me is against me. We can say that we have our personality, our temperament, our education, our lack of education. We received a good start in life, a bad start in life. But these can never be excuses. At the end of the day, which side we are on for or against our Lord depends entirely on those free choices we make. We are not pre-programmed. God offers us the grace, all the graces we need for our salvation, whoever we are, and we are free to respond to those graces or not. So Lent is the time when we must decide decisively for God. The time for beating about the bush in our spiritual life is over. There is no more sitting on the fence. Either we are for him or we are against him. There is no middle path. A maybe or perhaps later amounts to a no. Fortunately, we are three priests this Sunday, so we can have the luxury of one priest celebrating Mass and two priests hearing confessions. Let us renew our determination to love God in all things, at all times, in all that we do, in every hour of the day and the night. Then there is the second surprising part of today's Gospel. For us who are used to loving and revering the unique privileges of the Virgin Mary in the plan of salvation, the conclusion of today's Gospel may seem to startle us. This very mysterious passage, however, although at first it may seem to denigrate Mary's holiness, simply explains to us that Mary's faith is at the heart of her holiness. We read, a certain woman from the crowd, lifting her voice, said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore thee." But he said, "Yea, rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it." So let's think carefully. At first glance, this might almost seem as if our Lord were denying his mother's holiness. On a closer look, he was not denying her holiness, but explaining it. So we can see and understand better if we compare it to another scene concerning our Lord himself. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, we read, a certain man running up and kneeling before him asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may receive life everlasting?" And Jesus said to him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good but God alone." So we see that our Lord sometimes likes to tease, as it were. It was like a riddle. He did not simply come down from heaven and say, as he could have done, "I am God, you must fall down and worship me, otherwise you'll be lost." He was more subtle than that, you could say. He said, "So why do you call me good? Only God is good." He didn't say, "No, you're wrong, I'm not good." He said, "Why do you call me good? Only God is good." So our Lord was not denying that he is good, he rather explains it. If he is good, it is because of that infinite divine goodness which is in him. That his infinite divine goodness is why he is good, really goodness itself, precisely because he is God. So if we apply that to the other passage, today's Gospel, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Likewise, our Lady is holy precisely because she has believed. She is the one who said, "Be it done unto me according to thy word. At the visitation, Saint Elizabeth said, Blessed art thou that hast believed, because those things shall be accomplished that were spoken to thee by the Lord. Mary's faith, so prompt, so humble, so docile, is at the root of all her other glories. Indeed, we see the promptness and purity of Mary's faith in the scene of the Annunciation. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of David his father, and he shall reign in the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And Mary said to the angel, How shall this be done, because I know not man? But without hesitation, Mary believes the angel's words. Only she asks first how this great honour can be reconciled with her vow of virginity. Here also we see Mary's holiness, for as Cardinal Newman remarked, when the angel announced to her that she was destined to have that blessedness which Jewish women had age after age looked out for, to be the mother of the expected Christ, she did not seize the news as another would, but she waited. She waited till she could be told it was consistent with her virgin state. Now, as ever, Mary's message to us is the same. She invites us during this Lent to receive Christ's words which he can receive only from his bride, the Church, in faith and docility. She says to us today, as she said to the disciples of old, Whatsoever he shall say to you, do ye. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.